أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار. نور على نور. يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء، ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم.
نعم، صب العذاب على من سب الأصحاب.
جمهور العلماء ذهب إلى أنه من سب الصحابة أو لعنهم يكون كافرا مرتد، وأجمع العلماء إجماع أن من اتهم الصحابة بالكفر أو بالنفاق أو طعن في عدالته أو في دينهم يكون كافرا مرتدا، مرق من ملة المسلمين وخرج من ملة الإسلام. لماذا؟ لأن الذي يطعن في الصحابة يطعن في الدين كله.
يسر إخوانكم في منتدى أنصار حبيب المصطفى أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة.
Well, dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to Riyad al-Salihin one more time. We're going to explain the second chapter of this book, which is about repentance. So we talked about repentance in the last episode, and that was the first part of it. We talked about the definition of repentance and times in which repentance will not be accepted. And today we're going to talk about some of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, okay, in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, talks about repentance in detail. Okay, so we're going to start with the first point here, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a daily repentant. Now, lots of people, and this is a common problem between people, that whenever you talk to them and you try to give them advice, don't do this, don't do that, this is not good in the sight of God. You are not supposed to do that, this is bad. You have to repent to God, you have to come back to God. The way you live your life is not a good way. You need to make your life better, you need to come closer to God. You are shocked by many people who say, no, there is nothing wrong with us. We are very good, we are very nice people. I mean, we are perfect. So lots of people think that they are marvelous, that there is no harm in them, and this is not good. First of all, this is not right at all, because even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best man who has ever lived on this earth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to repent to God every day. Now listen to this hadith that is narrated by Abu Hurairah, may God be pleased with him. He said, I heard Allah's Prophet saying, by Allah I ask for forgiveness from Allah and turn to Him in repentance more than 70 times a day. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repents to God more than 70 times a day. Can you believe it? You believe this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom God loves, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repents to God 70 times a day. Now, how many times do we repent? How many times do we repent? And how many sins do we commit every day and night? Lots of sins. And we have lots of problems in our life. So we should repent. We should come back to God. We should ask for God's forgiveness. After every prayer, oh God, forgive me. and we remember, we try to remember our sins, and we ask for God's forgiveness. Now look at this hadith also, which is very, very nice and very perfect, and I think it fits very well into this point. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Umar stated, that Allah's Messenger said, O people, seek repentance from Allah. Verily, I seek repentance from Him 100 times a day. Now one more time. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, seek repentance from Allah. Verily, I seek repentance from Him 100 times a day. So in one hadith, 70 times, and in other hadith, 100 times. So come on, people. We need to get closer to God. We need to come back to God. Don't sleep without counting your sins that you committed on that day and asking for forgiveness. It's very important that you do that. Do not go to bed without remembering your sins and asking for forgiveness from your Lord. Because this is the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to live. And do not be so arrogant. Don't think that you are Mr. Perfect, because you're not. No human being is perfect. No son of Adam is perfect. So even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent by God, repents and comes back to God, used to come back to God 70, and in some other hadith, 100 times a day. Now, the common point which is also very important here, which is, how do you see yourself? And this is what I was talking about. How do you see yourself? Do you look at yourself as a perfect man? Do you consider yourself a very good person and there's no sin on you? If this is the way you look at yourself, so you've got a very serious problem and you have to ask for help. Okay, this is not the way you should be. If you are a Muslim, if you are a true Muslim, so you have to suspect yourself all the time. You have to charge yourself all the time. You have to accuse yourself all the time. And when you do this, you feel how much you need God and how much you need forgiveness. So a Muslim should not think that he is perfect, because he's not. Because nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect at all. Listen to this amazing hadith here. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is some sort of shade upon my heart. Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. There is at times some sort of shade upon my heart, and I seek forgiveness from Allah 100 times a day. A shade upon my heart. Who's saying that? It's not me, it's not you. It's not anybody on the street. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking. And he said, there is a shade, some sort of shade upon my heart. And what about our hearts, eh? If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that there was a shade upon his heart, and what about our hearts that are full of terrible things? We know exactly who we are, and God knows better. So we need to come back to God. And we need not to be so arrogant, thinking that we are perfect and we have no problems. Now look at this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person who is saying that, is the same person that God said about him in the Holy Quran. Let's read that together. God says in the Holy Quran, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. Verily, we have granted thee a manifest victory. God is talking to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Verily, we have granted thee a manifest victory. لِيَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ اللَّهُ ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. That Allah may forgive thee thy faults of the past and those to follow, fulfill his favor to thee and guide thee on a straight way. Allahu Akbar. This is said about who? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this verse one more time. That Allah may forgive thee thy faults of the past and those to follow, fulfill his favor to thee and guide thee on a straight way. God, Allah, the glorified one, the great one, the highest one, forgave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his past sins and his sins to follow. And though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keep asking forgiveness from God, he returns to God 100 times a day, asking for forgiveness. Now, how many times do we come closer to God? What do we do here? This great man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may peace be upon him, he returns to God asking for forgiveness, while God told him in the Holy Quran, saying that Allah may forgive thee thy faults of the past and those to follow, fulfill his favor to thee and guide thee on a straight way. MashaAllah. Very nice words to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeps returning to God every day and night though. Okay, now. And listen to this also. This is a very important part here. And something that we need also to remember. And I think Christians know very well what I'm going to talk about. They know from the Holy Bible that nobody is perfect. And who said that? Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. Because some people may say, oh yeah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to return to God, used to come closer to God, because he used to commit sins. Well, we know how many people attack Islam these days. No, what you say, no, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't used to repent because he used to make sins. No, it's not that way at all, but because he used to be thankful to God. He didn't used to be arrogant. And this is how Jesus Christ also used to be. And let's read this from Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter life, keep the commandments. Very simple. So when this man called Jesus Christ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this man called Jesus good, he said, no. Why do you call me good? Why callest thou me good? There is none good. There is none good but one, that is God. So Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may peace and blessings of God be upon him, he knows very well that as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that there is no one who is perfect and everybody needs to ask for forgiveness. And when this man, and when he gave advice to this man, he didn't say, worship me so that you enter paradise. He didn't say that. He didn't say, worship me in order to enter the eternal life. He said, just keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Don't break the commandments. Okay, now. Do we want, as Muslims, to please God? Do we want to please God? Like every one of us knows very well that he commits sins. Every one of us knows that we commit sins. But do we want to please God? Do we want God to be pleased with us? Of course, yes. The answer is, if you are a true Muslim, so the answer is yes, I want God to be pleased with me. Even if you are a sinner, but this is how you feel deep down, you want God to be happy with you. Nobody wants God to be angry with him. Everybody wants God to be, like, pleased with him. How can you achieve that? Well, my answer is, if you want to make God pleased with you, repent. Come back to God. Pray and ask for forgiveness. Oh God, you know my sin, and you know what I did, and nobody saw me but you, and you are the all-seeing, you are the all-wise. Forgive me, God. And you ask for forgiveness. Because God becomes pleased with those who repent and come back to him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Anas ibn Malik reported, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of a servant as he turns towards him for repentance than this, that one amongst you is upon a camel in a waterless desert. And there is upon that camel is provision of food and drink also, and it is lost by him, and he having lost all hope to get that again, lies down in the shadow and is disappointed about his camel. And there he finds that camel standing before him. He takes hold of his nose string, and then out of boundless joy says, O Lord, thou art my servant, and I am thine Lord. He commits this mistake out of extreme delight. Now look at this parable, this great parable. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to tell you and tell me how much God becomes pleased with you when you return to him in repentance. It is exactly like a man who is in the desert and he's got his food and drink upon the back of his camel. But suddenly the camel is lost. The camel is nowhere. And what does that mean? It means that this mate is going to be dead in hours. Because everything is on the back of a camel. So it's got no food, it's got no water, and no animal to go back on home. So he's got nothing now. So this man who was full of despair, who was full of fear, who was full of frustration, disappointment, went to a tree to stay under its shade. And while he is just, you know, lying under the tree, he just woke up to find a camel standing in front of him. How happy this man will be. He will be extremely happy. I mean, no way, this mate is going to be very happy, extremely happy. He found his camel again, which means he found his life again, he's not going to die. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that God is as happy as this person for those who repent and come back to him. And out, this mate who found the camel said out of his happiness, Oh my Lord, you are my servant and I am your Lord. So he said things that are not true. Okay, and he didn't mean to say that because he was very happy. He didn't know what he was saying. So, now, look at this. Out of this story, we understand that God becomes very pleased with those who come back to him. But let me take a sip first. Okay, good tea. So, but also we need to say something here. Somebody may say that, God can be pleased. Can we say that God can be pleased? Because being pleased is human. And this is a human characteristic. How can we say that God become pleased? Can we say something like that? We say yes. We can say that God becomes angry, we can say that God becomes happy, we can say that God smiles, no problem. But not like humans. We can say that, but not like humans, because God is totally different. Now, let's read this verse from the Holy Quran together and we understand how different God is. God says in the Holy Quran, فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِيهِ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has made for you pairs from among yourselves and pairs among cattle. By this means does he multiply you. There is nothing whatever like unto him. And he is the one that hears and sees all things. So yes, as Muslims we believe that God can be pleased. But not like anyone or like anything. There is nothing whatever like unto him. So we say that yes, God has a hand. We say that God has a hand, God has a foot, God has eyes. But under this term, there is nothing whatever like unto him. So when I say the hand of God, I don't mean that God's hand is like this hand. No, not at all, eh? Not like this one. But under this term, there is nothing whatever like unto him. And people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they know what I'm talking about. They know that there is nothing like unto God at all. Okay? Now, so let's move to another part here. And also related to the same hadith. Remember that this person, out of happiness, what did he say? He said a word of disbelief. He said, oh God, I'm your Lord, you're my servant. Is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? Of course not. Nobody accepts something like that. But this man, did he mean what he was saying? Did he mean it? No, he didn't. He was confused. He said that as a mistake, as a fault. He didn't want to say that. He actually wanted to say, oh, you're my Lord and I'm your servant. But out of happiness, he said, you're my servant, I'm your Lord. But will God punish him for saying so? No. God will forgive him. Why? Because God cares about hearts. It's not important what you say as long as you didn't mean it. You didn't intend to say it. But if you intended saying that, so you're a disbeliever, out, you're a disbeliever, you're not a Muslim anymore. Because this will be a kind of mocking. You're trying to mock God. But if you said it as a mistake and you didn't mean it, you didn't want to say it, but it's just it slipped out of your tongue, so it's no problem here. As long as you didn't intend it, no problem. Because God says in the Holy Quran, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله غفور حليم. Allah will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oaths, but for the intention in your hearts, and He is oft forgiving, most forbearing. So this is what God cares about. God looks deep down into your heart. Did you intend it or not? If you intended it, so bye-bye, you're not a Muslim anymore. But if it was just a mistake, you didn't mean it, no problem. Now let me remind you of a very amazing story that happened in the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moving with the army towards the Roman Empire army. And let me just take a sip and continue this amazing story. Well, very nice. Okay. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam moving with the army okay, in this battle that is called Tabuk, and it was, this battle was in a very hot weather, and lots of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ were suffering. And one of the people in the army, he said this, he said, "I've never seen people like those scholars." He's talking about companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He said, "They like food very much, and they lie too much, and they are very coward when the fight comes." I want you to listen carefully to what this mate said. He said, "I've never seen people like those, like the scholars, like the friends of Muhammad ﷺ, the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. I've never seen people like those. They are, they care so much about food. They love food so much, and they lie too much, and they are very coward. They are not brave in fighting." So one of the people in the army heard what this man said. So this mate looked directly to the man and he said, "No, but you are a hypocrite. And I'm going to tell the Prophet about what you said. You are a hypocrite. And I'm going to tell the Prophet about what you said." This man didn't wait for anyone to tell him that the speaker is a hypocrite, because he knew deep down that nobody would say something like that except he is a hypocrite. No doubt. So he went directly to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this story. Now what happened after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew? God revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this verse from the Holy Quran. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبُ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ." And look at this. God said, "If thou dost question them, they declare with emphasis, 'We were only talking idly and in play.' Say, O Muhammad, say, was it at Allah and His signs and His messenger that you were mocking? Make you no excuses. You have rejected faith after you had accepted it. If we pardon some of you, we will punish others amongst you for that they are in sin." Now look at this carefully. So those people, for what they said, were not forgiving. Why? Because they said it intentionally. And this is why God revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Make you no excuses. Say, O Muhammad, Allah is ordering Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what you're going to say, O Muhammad, to them when they come to you." And they will say, "We were only talking idly and in play. We didn't mean it. We were joking. We were kidding." So God told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do not accept their excuses, because this is not acceptable in Islam, that you mock the Prophet, you mock the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you mock the signs of Allah, you mock Allah Himself. It's not acceptable at all." And this is why God said in the Holy Quran, "You have rejected faith after you had accepted it." Rejected faith. So God considered what they said as a kind of rejection of the whole religion. Okay? So, number one, if you are saying a word of disbelief, but you didn't mean it, you didn't intend it, so it's no problem. But if you intended to mock, so it's not going to be over, pastor. It's not going to be over. It's not that easy. You may have come out of Islam. You're not a Muslim anymore if you did that. Okay. Now, God encourages us to repentance. To repent. But we can say that God calls pulls us, like, every day in order to make us repent. How important is repentance? Very, very important. Now, Abu Musa reported Allah messengers, may peace be upon him, as saying that Allah the Exalted and Glorious stretches out his hand during the night so that the people repent for the fault committed from dawn till dusk. And he stretches out his hand during the day so that the people may repent for the fault committed from dusk to dawn. He would accept repentance before the sun rises in the west, which means before the day of resurrection. Now look at this. So God stretches out his hand during the night so that the people repent for the fault committed from dawn till dusk. And he stretches out his hand during the day so that the people may repent for the fault committed from dusk to dawn. Which means you've got all day. You've got your whole day. You can repent any time. God is stretching his hand. Will you stretch your hand to reach his? Will you come closer to God? Will you repent? Because God is already stretching his hand. Right now, in the morning, at night, every hour, every minute, every second, God is ready to receive you. But are you ready to stretch your hand so God can take your hand to safety? To what is so good to you? So we have to be ready. And we have to think about our sins and start to repent and come back to God. And in the last episode, we explained the process and the steps that we should take in order to repent. Okay, now, Abu Hurairah, may God be pleased with him, reported Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, as saying, who seeks repentance from the Lord before the rising of the sun from the west, Allah returns to him with mercy. And look at this, who seeks repentance? Anyone! Anyone wants to come back to God, no problem. God is going to receive him with mercy as long as he's coming before the sun rises from the west. Because when the sun rises from the west, it's over, as we explained in the last episode. It's over. No repentance is going to be accepted because the doomsday has come. Are you going to repent now? Okay, now. Some people do not repent because they think that, oh, our sins are so many. Our sins are so many. We're not going to repent. Our sins are unbearable. God will never accept our repentance. Our sins are very horrible. I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to come back to God. So I don't want to repent. No, no, no. God will never accept my repentance. Some people say that. And my brother, dear brothers and sisters, this is one of the Satan's way of misleading those people and leading them more into darkness. So we say that Satan sometimes pictures to people that their repentance will never be accepted. And Satan throws despair in the hearts and frustration and tries to convince them that whatever you do, God is not going to accept you anymore, which is not true. And listen to this amazing hadith here by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There was a person before you who had killed 99 persons." 99 persons. Ah. Oh God. There was a person before you who had killed 99 persons and then made an inquiry about the learned persons of the world. after killing 99 persons, this man is looking for scholars, religious scholars. He's looking for them everywhere, who could show him the way to salvation. This man who killed 99 persons, finally he wants to repent. He wants to come back to God. So, he was directed to a monk. He came to him and told him that he had killed 99 persons and asked him whether there was any scope for his repentance to be accepted. He went to this monk. I want to repent. I want to come back to God. Is this possible after killing 99 persons? I mean, can I come back to God? Can I repent? So the man said, no. This monk said, no, no way. You killed 99 persons. No way. I mean, you can't repent. So the man killed him too. I mean, who cares? My repentance is not going to be accepted anyway. So he killed him. He killed him also and thus completed 100. Instead of 99, now he killed 100 people. So he said, yes. Now this scholar this time, he didn't say no. He said, yes. What stands between you and the repentance? As if he's trying to say that you can repent any time, it's no problem. It doesn't matter that you killed 100 people, but you still can come to your Lord. You can still come closer to God. And he said, what stands between you and the repentance? You better go to such and such land. There are people devoted to prayer and worship. And you also worship along with him. And do not come to the land of your sins. Do not come to the land of yours, since it was an evil land for you. And this gives us hints. Look at how careful this man is and how wise this man is. He told him to leave the land in which he used to commit sins and to move to another land, to a land that is good, to a land in which people pray to God. And he wanted him to join them. He wanted him to join them and to worship along with them. It reminds me of what God said in the Holy Quran, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. And be patient with those who call upon the Lord in the morning and at night. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهُهُ. Only for the sake of God. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And do not turn your eyes away from them, wanting the life of this world, asking for the life of this world. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And do not obey, don't obey those, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, those who forgot everything about God. So this scholar advised him to travel, to leave his land, the land of evil, to move to a better land, to be with better people. Okay, now let's continue. And do not come to the land of your sin, or your sins, of yours, since it was an evil land for you. So he went away, and he had hardly covered half the distance when death came to him. And there was a dispute between the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment. The man decided to repent. And he started his journey, coming back, traveling to the land this wise man told him about. But the problem that death came to him, and he died nearly in the half of the way to this land of repentance. Now, what happened? The angels of punishment and the angels of death started disputing. The angels of death, the angels of punishment, they say that this man should be sent to hell. Okay? And the angels of mercy said, no, this man is a repentant. So we should talk him to paradise, to heaven. Now let's continue the hadith. Now, the angels of mercy said, this man has come as a penitent, as a repentant, and remorseful to Allah. And the angels of punishment said, he has done no good at all. Then there came another angel in the form of a human being in order to decide between them. He said, you measure the land to which he has drawn near. So they measured it and found him nearer to the land where he intended to go, which is the land of piety. Okay? And so the angels of mercy took possession of it. Now look at this. Now this is a great story. A man who was in despair, frustration, after killing 100 people, and he wanted to repent, so he was advised to leave the land in which he used to commit all these sins and evil things, to the land of piety, to the land of believers in which they pray to God and ask for God's forgiveness. And we started doing that, he died near the middle of the journey, in the halfway. So the angels disputing, they started to measure the distance between the land of evil and the land of piety and this mate. So they found him nearer to the land of piety, so he was forgiven by God after killing 100 people. And this means that a killer could be forgiven and could repent to God. But let's talk in details about this matter because it's very important. And we say, how can a killer repent? Because that is going to be a very important question for a reason, because there is a verse, a very important verse in the Holy Quran, okay, that we remember when it comes to killers, because God said in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. مرة أخرى. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. نعم. God said in the Holy Quran, if a man kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, to abide therein forever. And the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a dreadful penalty is prepared for him. Now look at this. If a man kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, to abide therein forever. And the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a dreadful penalty is prepared for him. So after this verse, can a killer repent? Can a killer repent? Yes, a killer can repent, but under conditions. Under conditions. Now what are the conditions here? What are the conditions? This killer should give rights back. This killer should give rights back. And we're going to talk about three rights. We're going to talk about three rights. Number one, God says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against the souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah. For Allah forgives all sins, for He is oft forgiving, most merciful. O my servants who have transgressed against the souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah. For Allah forgives all sins, for He is oft forgiven, most merciful. Allah forgives all sins. Oh, no exception here. All sins are forgiven, because Allah is most merciful. And look at this verse also. And I'm going to make a comparison now and tell you what I want after all this. God says in the Holy Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And the servants of Allah, most gracious are those who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant address them, they say, peace. Those who spend the night in adoration of the Lord, prostrate and standing. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Those who say, our Lord, avert from us the wrath of hell, for its wrath is indeed an affliction grievous. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Evil indeed is it as an abode and as a place to rest in. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those who, when they spend, are not extravagant and not niggardly, but hold a just balance between those extremes. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Those who invoke not with Allah any other God, nor slay such life as Allah has made sacred except for just cause, nor commit fornication, and any that does this not only meets punishment. يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. But the penalty on the day of judgment will be doubled to him, and he will dwell therein in ignominy. إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds, for Allah will change the evil of such persons into good, and Allah is oft forgiven, most merciful. So, this is what we call God's right. This is what we call God's right. A killer who wants to repent, he should observe the first right, which is God's right. So you want to repent, you have to be faithful. And your repentance should be for God only. Okay? This is number one. So you repent, and you believe, and you do righteous deed. You work righteous deeds. This is very important, that your repentance becomes accepted in front of God. So this is God's right. You have to achieve it. Number two, the killed person's right. So you repent to God, faithfully, God accepts it. But don't forget that the killed person has a right. And on the day of judgment, God will judge between both of you. So if you killed someone, God is going to judge between you and him later, because this is the killed person's right. So yes, God will forgive your act, but he's going to judge between you and this killed person on the day of judgment. And there is a third right, which is the killed person's family's right. The family of this man whom you killed has right. So you have to go back to the family of the person you killed, and you ask for their forgiveness. and to give them the right compensation according to the Islamic law. And if they accepted your compensation, you're going to be set free. And if they said no, we don't accept that. So you have to be punished according to the Islam law or the Islamic law. This is how a killer can repent. By observing God's right, knowing that the killed person has a right and his family also have rights. Now, and this hadith also, which is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him, he said, Allah's Prophet said, Allah welcomes two men with a smile. Allah welcomes two men with a smile. One of whom kills the other, and both of them enter paradise. One fights in Allah's cause and gets killed. Later on, Allah forgives the killer who also get martyred. Later on, Allah forgives the killer who also got martyred. Now let's listen to this hadith. It's amazing, really. Allah welcomes two men with a smile. Imagine. Allah smiles to two persons. But why Allah smiles to two persons? One of whom kills the other. Two persons. One is a disbeliever and the other is a believer. So the believer got killed. So he's a martyr. So Allah smiles to him. Then after that, the killer became a Muslim. And he fought in the cause of God and was killed in the cause of God. So he became a martyr. So God smiled to him. So subhanAllah. God made them brothers in heaven. God made them brothers in heaven. So, if you are a non-Muslim, and you killed Muslims while you are a disbeliever, then you realized that Islam is right and that this is the religion of God. And this is the last testament sent to humanity through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you realized all that finally and you became a Muslim, your sins are forgiven. All of them, even killing people, are forgiven. SubhanAllah. So look at this hadith. So Allah welcomes two men with a smile, one of whom kills the other, and both of them enter paradise. Both of them. One fights in Allah's cause and gets killed. Later on, Allah forgives the killer who also get martyred. He got killed too. Right. Now, one of the things that also related to repentance, and we need to tell our brothers and sisters about, is do not despise sinners, people. If you are a Muslim, you should not be arrogant. You must not be arrogant if you are a Muslim. So if you pray and you follow God's orders and you know that some of your brothers, and I say your brothers, commit sins, and even if they commit sins, they are still your brothers because they are Muslims. So if they commit sins, it doesn't mean that they are not your brother. They are your brothers in Islam. And we do not hate them. We hate what they do, but we do not hate them. They are Muslims. We do not hate them. We do not despise them. We despise what they do. And this is big difference. Now, Umran ibn Hussein reported that a woman from Juhayna came to Allah's Prophet, and she had become pregnant because of adultery. She said, Allah's Prophet, I have done something for which prescribed punishment must be imposed upon me. So impose that, Prophet Muhammad. This woman who was caught in adultery and she was pregnant after this adultery came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to punish her according to the law of God, saying, O Prophet Muhammad, impose that on me. So Allah's Prophet, may peace be upon him, called the master and said, treat her well treat her well. And when she delivers, bring her to me. He did accordingly. Then Allah's Prophet, may peace be upon him, pronounced judgment about her. And her clothes were tied around her. And then he commanded, and she was stoned to death. He then prayed over her dead body. Thereupon Umar said to him, Allah's Prophet, you offer prayer for her, whereas she hath committed adultery? Thereupon he said, she has made such a repentance that if it were to be divided among 70 men of Medina, it would be enough. Have you found any repentance better than this, that she sacrificed her life for Allah the Majestic? Subhanallah. So this woman from Juhayna who committed adultery, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stoned her according to the law of God. When Umar radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him, got the story that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying on a dead body, he was astonished. Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet, the last Prophet seen by God, he prays for a lady, for a dead lady who committed adultery. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him that the repentance of this woman could be enough for 17 men in Medina, because she sacrificed her life for God. And we learn from this that people who accept the law of God and the punishment of God for what mistakes they did, they will be forgiven. They will be purified by this punishment. It's going to be a kind of purification for them. Well, some people say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cruel. Some people say that because of the stoning business. And he was not supposed to stone anybody, and Islam is full of cruelty. Because of stoning and cutting the thieves, you know, like hands and whatever, and the whole business. This is what they say, really. Now, but let's say something here. Stoning as punishment was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who came with it. Well, this is not true. Because actually stoning is a very well-known punishment in the Old Testament. And it was done by Moses, peace be upon him. And it was also done by Joshua, son of Nun, peace be upon him. So it's not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who came up with this. This was well known from the time of old. And let's read that from the Holy Bible, from the book of Numbers. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. So who commanded Moses to stone? I commanded Moses? No, I wasn't there at that time. Sheikh Walid commanded Moses? No, Sheikh Walid wasn't at that time. Okay, so who commanded Moses? According to the Holy Bible, God commanded Moses. So God who commanded Moses is the same God who commanded Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stone and to punish adulterous people with stoning if they are married. So, do Christians and Jews say that Moses is not a prophet because he used to stone? No, they don't. But when it comes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they start, you know, like, Oh, no, he wasn't supposed to do this. He wasn't supposed to do that. Why? Why are we dealing with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this kind of hypocrisy? We should be a little bit, you know, like, just. So, if you think that Moses is a prophet, okay, and he applied the laws of God, and one of these laws was stoning, why do you deny it when it comes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why are you so astonished? Why can't you believe? And look at this. And this is another story also from the Holy Bible, from the book of Joshua 7:20. Okay. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with the stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with the stones. And they stoned what? The man, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, and his sheep. And up till this day, when you ask a Jew or a Christian, "Is Joshua son of Nun a prophet?" he says, "Yes, he is a prophet." But when it comes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no, he was cruel. This is a lie. Stop lying here. Stoning is a very well-known law of God and a kind of punishment given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by God, and also to Moses and to Joshua and to the sons of Israel, and that is well-known. Now people, and especially Christians, they say that, yeah, but Jesus came with mercy, and Jesus abolished all this. Jesus abolished the stoning, no stoning anymore, no killing anymore, it's peace all over. Well, I say, I'm sorry, but this is not true. This is not true. And Jesus Christ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may God be pleased with him, was merciful at times, and was tough also at times, because this is how a prophet should be. And this is why Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in Luke 19:26, "For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Have you heard that? Did I say it? No, I didn't. Jesus said that. "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So sometimes Jesus was tough. And being tough does not mean that you are not a prophet. Because you just receive orders from God. And you apply these orders. You implicate these orders. Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Matthew 5:18, "For truly I say to you, shall the heaven and the earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done." Nothing going to be away from the Torah. So why do you say that stoning is over through Jesus Christ? No, it's not over by Jesus Christ. In Jesus also said, therefore, and this is Matthew 5:19, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it seems to me that Jesus was that Jesus Christ respected the law so much and didn't want anybody to break it. And listen to this, Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. And now he's saying that he abolishes. And what story do you depend on? And this is the problem here, that lots of Christians say that stoning is over because of the story of Jesus Christ seeing the woman chased by the Pharisees or some other Jews who were trying to stone her because she committed adultery. Then they kept questioning Jesus, what are we going to do to this lady, to this woman? Are we going to stone her as Moses said? So Jesus, and this is John 8:7, and they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Jesus did not abolish stoning. But he was trying to teach them that you are not worthy to be judges. You can't be judges because you're not even believers. And disbelief is a greater sin than adultery. So how can you, while you are a disbeliever, starting to imply the commandments of God? You are not ready, you can't do that. You don't believe. Your crime is more horrible than her. Your crime is more horrible than hers. So this is what Jesus Christ was trying to say, but not to abolish stoning. Okay? Now, amazing. Now. And here is the final part of today's episode, inshallah, and the final part also of repentance. Now, a question here, which is, isn't it the right time to stop being so greedy and repent? And I think yes. We should come back to God and stop being greedy. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All men." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If the son of Adam were given a valley full of gold, he would love to have a second one. And if he were given a second one, he would love to have a third. For nothing fills the belly of Adam's son except dust. And Allah forgives he who repents to him." Greedy is a very disastrous sin. So we need to stop being greedy. Because this is how lots of people live their lives. They live only for money. They live for dollars. They live for quid. They live for bucks. This is all what they want in this life. They think only about money. And when they get more, they need more. It is never enough for them. They keep looking for money, looking for money. So it is time to stop thinking a little bit about money and try to get closer to God. Because whenever you repent to God, your repentance, inshallah, is accepted. Because God is stretching His hand all the time. So I ask God for you, my brothers and sisters, and for me also. I ask God to accept our repentance and to make us repentance. Allahumma ameen. And I ask God, the great, the most merciful, to gather us together with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise, along with all prophets, Jesus, Moses, Joshua, Solomon, all the prophets. May the blessings and peace of God be upon them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.